I heard a saying today, Neil of Levitzel. Rav Shalom also said a name of Levitzel. He used to come and want to talk with the Levitzel. He says, I don't want to hear you. If you want, I want to tell you. I want to make you hear. I don't want to hear from you. Sometimes people come, they make you meshuggah with all kinds of svarot or shtuyot that they have in their head. Levitzel was like, if you want, I have what to tell you. I don't want to hear. Yeah, we're starting the story of 1939. It was summer of 1939.
Right before World War II.
Right before World War II. The days of Rosh Hashanah are getting close, and Rabbi Yitzchak is beginning, he's living in Moscow, and he's beginning to prepare his journey to Rosh Hashanah for Uman, like the Holy Rebbe Aminachman commanded. It's true, the Kloyz was completely closed already from 1936. But nevertheless, Hasidim were not held back from coming to Uman and davening in the rented apartment. And the Rosh Hashanah of 1937, 1938, davening in the rented apartments. Just to understand the implication of such a dangerous journey for Rav Levitzel, we have to go a little bit back. As you remember, Rav Levitzel, he ran away from Uman a little bit after he was released from prison, and he lived in Tuchin for a while, and then when they were searching for him more and more, looking for things to get on him, he was forced in 1938 to journey far away, many kilometers away, to Moscow. It's many kilometers away. It's a two and a half hour flight. By train, it's 17 hours. It's far. Not on the fast train, on a regular 100 kilometer train. So it's about 1700 kilometers away. It's far. About a 2 hour flight, yeah. I flew to Kiev. So he lived in 70 kilometers away from Moscow, in one of the suburbs of Moscow. But also in Moscow, he heard that people, they did not give up on him, they're still looking for him. He's considered a dangerous criminal, they have to catch him. More than that, since he ran away, his name was even mentioned even more on the investigator's table. Because part of the people who were caught then, in those times, they let themselves blame Levi Yitzchak, knowing that Levi Yitzchak will never say anything, and that he's hiding, and this and that. But they didn't have him, and he's far away, they're not gonna catch him now. But they didn't know that Levi Yitzchak is planning on coming back for Rosh Hashanah. So you could just imagine the charada. Is the charada in English? It's a very strong. Another word, huh?
Trepidation.
Can anxieties? Charadot is anxieties.
Stress.
Is what?
The anxiety of the family.
Anxiety
of his family. And his people that knew him, his relatives, people close to him. From even the idea of going back to Uman, that's the place, the worst place for him to be. Also, the Hasidei Chabad that was sitting in Moscow, that they knew what's going on more and more and more than most people inside the communists, they recommend Rav Levitzel, right now, you're better off over here. And don't dare going back to Uman now. But, as we know, Rav Levitzel, it has nothing to do with holiness. Nothing will push him away. And one of the main fundamental ideas of Breslev is to be by the Rebbe on Rosh Hashanah. Yerushalayim. Careful.
Sorry.
Maybe they want to hear.
What?
Yeah. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, those people were so worried in telling Rabbi Levi Yitzchak told them,
what?
I'm more afraid from not going than from going. Saying that, he took his little tekel, little bag, and he left. Rosh Hashanah of Tafresh Tzadik Tet, 1939, was like this year is going to be, this coming year is going to be. It was a Monday and Tuesday, meaning Sunday night was the first night of Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Yitzchak came to Uman already on Thursday before. Like we're going to come to Uman on Thursday before, on Friday. That's how Rabbi Yitzchak came to Uman before. He came on Thursday after midday, and he went quietly, disguised himself as much as possible, into one of the people he knew. And that guy immediately hurried to hide him in the basement. Yeah. The Balabuste, the wife of this guy, when she saw Rabbi Yitzchak there, she started screaming, "No, he can't come here! What, he's crazy? They're going to catch us!" So, but her husband calmed her, "Don't worry, Hashem will help us. Shluchei mitzvah inan nizokim. Right? Don't worry, be with us." Okay. Until Erev Rosh Hashanah, lifnat boker, until Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's like hid in this basement from Thursday afternoon until Sunday, early in the morning, by dawn. Yeah, and when the morning started, the Rebbe Yitzchak came out of his foxhole and covered himself with like bandage and stuff. With a key to the tzion, there was a key to the tzion. He went alone, and immediately he said immediately fast all the 10 Tegadalim, Tehillim. He went on the tzion, and when most people were still sleeping, he went back to his hiding place. That was the last time in the Levi Yitzchak's life that he was in Uman, in Rabbeinu's tzion. From that day until that day, he did not have the zechut to be again in tzion. It was very, very difficult for him, the breda. No, the separation. Separation from him to this place where he was so attacked for 20 years, since he's 17 years old, isn't it?
Well, was he in 39?
He was born, well, that's what he's been in. His 30s.
Was he born with you? 1897.
Okay.
He was
42. He was relatively young. Yeah. With them
till the end of his life, he never would
do it
again.
He
couldn't go. You didn't want to take a chance.
You'll see the story. He couldn't have made a chance. Afterwards, he left. During the war, he was
there in 39 also.
What?
He was there in 39 also.
The place was bombed.
The Nazis bombed it.
From the air.
Later on.
In 40.
And then after the war, it became even harder. And then, but if it's like right after the war, you went to Germany.
Yeah.
And then once you're out, you can't come in. It's common as such. And even afterwards, when there were trips, Rabbi Yitzchak, he was terrified. In his 90s. But he, yeah. Anyways, when Rabbi Yitzchak left the tzion, who does he see right outside? The snake. The guy who was the snitcher. The informer, one of the informers. The guy who was the informer of the place. Everyone knew he gets to stay away.
Malshin.
We say in Shmon Esra, but Malshin Yom Alti Yisigva. Nem Lamed Shin Yud Nun. Say in prayer. Shmon Esra, it's the added bracha, it's the 19th bracha. It's not number 19 in the Shmon Esra, but it's the one added. So Levi Yitzchak's face and his heart. He knew how bad this guy is, but immediately he strengthened himself, he understood. And anyways, the situation is lost. And there's no other way, just to go and talk to this snake. sneaky snake guy. And he went directly to him and he said, please, I beg you, don't let anyone know that I'm here in Uman. And the guy promised that he won't say. You believe his promises, right? And the Yitzchak thought, maybe, perhaps, this time he'll have some mercy to this guy, the Jew. Right? He won't say it, but unfortunately he saw that the guy is following him. So he tried to run away, and he really found an opportunity. The guy stood a second to tie a shoe or something, and the Yitzchak started running, and he hid, and they were all scared, and they understood that the Yitzchak is there, they found him, and they were sure that people now were going to come, so they didn't let him. So they decided that the minion was supposed to be in that house. They decided that the minion will not be in that house. Rabbi Yitzchak stayed in the house. And the minion was, where was the minion? And somewhere else. Now Rabbi Yitzchak hid now in where the place of the sukkah. It was like a hut over there. The sukkah. Yeah. From blowing the shofar, they brought over the Baal Tekiah. They didn't know. Now they didn't tell him who he's going to blow for. There's a guy and he's for them to blow. He saw Levi Yitzchak. He started crying. He wasn't able to do it. He was so scared. Everything was like, you were afraid you're going to die. And the next day they brought a different Baal Tekiah. It was the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Baal Bayit came back from the prayers. He went to call Levi Yitzchak to eat. Immediately when he came, they were all excited. And they told him about a miracle that happened when Levi Yitzchak was praying. When he was still praying in the sukkah, the police burst into the house and started looking. The scared children looked at the cops, turning over the whole house inside out, throwing the clothing all over the place, looking under the beds, and even going to the room which leads to the sukkah. And Rabbi Yitzchak is standing there, davening the whole prayer out loud, screaming. But for their amazing, they were amazed to see that they were sure that they were going after the voice. But they went, they destroyed the whole room, and they did not see Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak became
invisible.
Yeah, that's how the Yitzchak went. The last Rosh Hashanah in Uman Rosh Hashanah.